to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 208 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Woo! Lap Traffic Nation. What a day, what a week, what a weekend. You ever have one of those like something like so cool yet so bummed at the same time? That was me this weekend. Friday, Lindsay and I took the day off, hung out. We've been going and going and going. And, well, we thought we were going to take a relaxing day off, but, you know, not so much. And then Saturday, we had some neighbors over for a little outdoor tailgate for Michigan State, which was so much fun. The weather was perfect for an outdoor tailgate, 50 degrees, sunny, all that good stuff. Everyone had a great time, except for us Michigan fans. And then Sunday rolls around. All right, got the Lions, which, you know, I never have high expectations for, but their loss just fueled things there. And then, of course, you all know how bummed I am that Harvick did not make it to the championship race this weekend. I think my takes on that will surprise you a little later on the show. But that said, you can see where it's a cool weekend, but the sports results just totally sucked for me. Let's see. Just a reminder, next week's show, it's the first time in a couple years, but next week's show is going to be on Wednesday. I got a work thing traveling for, and we'll be back late Wednesday morning, early afternoon. So show will have to be next Wednesday. But to make up for the delay and a day late on the show, I got Jeff Striegel for next week. So you know it's going to be awesome. Jeff and I will recap everything next week, and definitely looking forward to that. The show, just because the season's over, the show ain't going nowhere anytime soon. Got lots to do. Got the Lucky Dog recaps. Got some listener call-ins. Got the year-end awards. Be on the lookout for the ballot. That'll be on the website. I'll tweet it out. You'll be able to access it on your phone. It's one of the coolest nights of the year. It's a lot of fun. We give out some hardware to some winners and some fantasy winners and all that good stuff. And that's going to come out next week. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be open for a couple weeks while I'm doing all the other stuff. So be on the lookout for that. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with the guys from Peak Auto and my surprise call into Sherwin from the PETM podcast last week. That was so much fun. Such a great show. Got a couple nods that was one of the, you know, could have been a top five show, which is pretty cool. Love that. And speaking of the PETM podcast, I was on their show last night. They did a rare Monday show, which was cool. Everything's working out like that, you know. So I'm here tonight. They'll be back Tuesday. I'll be back next Wednesday. So you definitely get your fill. Had an absolute blast last night on the PETM podcast. So make sure you go and check that out for sure. All right. So I've talked about the past. I've talked about the future. What the hell's going on tonight? Well, let me tell you, Steve Letarte from NASCAR on NBC is going to be on in just a second, and we're going to preview what's coming up this weekend with Championship Weekend at Phoenix. Man, I want to say Homestead. It's just like so repetition to just have Homestead come right out of the mouth, roll off the tongue. It's like you got to catch yourself. Steve Letarte is going to be back on, and I'm very excited about that. And then after that, I'll touch upon anything that Steve and I don't touch upon, from Martinsville with the Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup Series, social media shout-outs, Aaron and Brian are going to be on for the last weather segment of 2020, and got your Lucky Dog lap down picks. Very excited for those. And then the fantasy to close it out, the final four, all four fantasy players are going to be making their picks. I hope that works out. That's the plan anyways. Have not recorded that part yet. Planning on doing that live at the end of the show here. So hopefully that goes well, and looking forward to having the final four on for their picks. All right. Let's get things rolling. Let's get Steve Letarte on the line.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his third appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He really needs no introduction. His incredible reputation speaks for itself, but I'll still give him one. He sat up top the box for Jeff Gordon and Dale Jr. for 330 races, where he racked up 15 wins, 112 top fives, and 185 top tens. And for the last 5 years, we have had the pleasure of listening to his calls on NBC. Welcome back to the Lap Traffic Podcast. It's Steve Letarte. Steve, what's going on, man? How are you?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, pretty excited. It's a big week, championship Ooh. Week. I can't wait to get out to Phoenix and see who's the guy that brings the best car, the best, you know, effort. That's the beauty of the championship week, is it's heads up, four guys, and we have four great ones.
I'm telling you, I absolutely love the format. I think it's fantastic. I love the fact that we aren't, you know, the championship isn't decided three races before our last race of the year, like back in the old days. You know, I know the old guard still has some critiques and all that kind of stuff, but man, the excitement that our current format brings us is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'll be honest. When we kind of went to the 10 races of the chase, I was a fan of that. And then when I went to this elimination, three races, I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know how this could increase the pressure any. I just knew everybody was trying as hard as they could, but I was wrong. This new, I guess it's not new anymore, but the current format has made these huge moments. And we had moments at Martinsville, and those last few laps were just unbelievable. And I expect to see the same at Phoenix.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Steve, it's been a minute since you've been on the show. I think the last time we talked was back in August at MIS last year. It's been a crazy 2020. We went from no racing because of the pandemic to weekday races, both scheduled, non-scheduled. We had doubles. We went to Darlington a couple extra times. What was the best part for you in terms of some of the, you know, off the wall changes NASCAR had to make to get the 2020 season in?
I'll tell you what, I've become a fan of no practice and qualifying. I like the fact that these teams are asked to prepare for the weekend, you know, at home at the shop. I think there are some tracks we go to, especially new ones, that we could show a little bit of practice. But I think what we learned is that we don't have to have practice, that these teams are professionals and they can drop the green flag and kind of race as they go. And I think that's been the most interesting thing in my mind for 2020. That's nothing I was expecting, but for sure, I'm kind of a big fan of it.
Sure. Now I got to ask, does crew chief Steve Letarte have that same response?
I probably would have thought it was crazy if they would have asked us, but I'll be honest, we always were pretty good off the truck in practice, so maybe I would have been better off if there was no practice for everyone else.
I love it. Okay, so we talked about, you know, this new playoff, it's not really new. This is the seventh year of the format. I think it's provided some of the best racing for fans in terms of, you know, how these rounds fell for this year. You know, Martinsville used to be the second to last race of the third round. I love it was the cutoff. I love the second round had a mile and a half, Talladega and the Roval. Did you enjoy the track placement of the playoffs this year as much as I did?
I really did. And I think the variety is needed. You know, when you look at the schedule, road courses are becoming more prominent. We have a variety of races, not just full a mile and a half races anymore. And I think that the playoff schedule resembles the regular season, which is the goal. I mean, you don't want a regular season to look one way and the playoffs look another way. So the fact that we have Talladega in there, we have the Roval in there, we had a Bristol race, we had a Martinsville race. We had some mile and a half, so variety of mile and a half. So we're going to have a championship settled at a 1 mile track out in the desert with Phoenix. So there's just a variety of racetracks. I think that's the key is the variety is needed for the race fan and for the competitor.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm with you. That almost equal representation, you know, I think that it's spot on and I love that. And as looking ahead to 2021, I know the fans, I'm stoked about a lot of the changes, a couple of the new tracks that we're going to. Two things for you on this one. You know, what track are you excited to get to for the first time under the 2021 NASCAR schedule? And what's your thought on throwing some dirt down at Bristol?
So I think I'm probably the most excited to go down to Austin and see what the Circuit of America looks like. Circuit of the Americas, just it looks so great on TV, and it puts on Some exciting racing. I'm excited to see the layout that the stock cars choose. You know, there's a few different versions down there. There's shorter, longer, some cut-throughs. So I'm probably looking forward to that the most. I'm a little jury out at Bristol. I'll be honest. I thought the trucks running on dirt at Eldora was kind of their niche, and it was fine, and I was fun with it. I'm a big fan of dirt racing. My son races on the dirt. But I just don't think I'm going to be a big fan of stock cars on dirt. It's something I didn't feel a need for in the schedule. But at the same time, I'm going to be a fan, and I'm going to tune in and watch and see how it goes. And, you know, one of 36 is just such a small sample set. Good or bad, I don't think it's going to sway the season either way.
Sure, I'm with you there. You know, my thing was like, you know, it's Bristol. That draws on its own because it's Bristol and its history. Like you said, Eldora is absolutely perfect. I've been to that race a couple times. It's fantastic. It provides a uniqueness for the truck series and put some eyes there. I'm with you. But I'm going to tune in because I'm going to be excited to see what type of product we get with that. But yeah, I feel you 100% there, man. All right, Steve, I've been saying it all year that Chevy was going to get into the Final Four come hell or high water. There was no way HMS, and you know that organization very well, wasn't going to be represented this year in the Final Four, because I think that would have been 4 years in a row that Chevy wasn't in the Final Four. Was that a big like thing on their whiteboard, like get to the Final Four?
Well, I would have to think it is. You know, I think the goal for Chevrolet is obviously to win the manufacturer's title, but they also want to see a driver's title in one of their brands. And as you mentioned, they've been shut out, I think, since Jimmy won the championship in 16. I could be wrong, but as I look back, it seems to be pretty Ford and Toyota dominant. So that's what they were trying to eliminate. And I'll be honest, it took a walk-off win by Chase Elliott to do it. You know, I didn't see a path for points, really, for everyone else. I don't know if I'm more shocked that – I'm actually probably more shocked that Harvick's not in it than I am that Chase won. I was expecting Chase and Truex to run well, and they didn't disappoint. They were 1-2 there in the closing laps until Truex had his loose wheel. So they showed up at Martinsville and, you know, added to the entertainment. It was great, but I do think it means a lot for both Chevrolet, Hendrick Motorsports, Rick Hendrick to be back into that championship four and have a shot at another title.
Absolutely. You mentioned Chase Elliott, 4 wins on the year. You know, the last 3 years, he's had 3 wins apiece. Does 4 wins in a season plus winning a cutoff race to get to the Final Four, does that elevate Chase Elliott to that next level of competition for himself personally and the organization?
I think the win on Sunday did. I think Chase Elliott went from young driver to consistent driver to winning driver, and he took the next step from winning driver to championship contender on Sunday in Martinsville. You know, look, anything can happen at Phoenix, and while I am totally fine with crowning a champion with one finale, one final race, I also will say that your success in that race as one of the four is not going to determine what kind of season you had. I think getting there is kind of has to be everyone's goal, and then you kind of worry about it once you get there. So the fact that Chase and Allen found their way there elevated that race team, and I think it's going to give all the men and women, everyone at Hendrick Motorsports, something to kind of hang their hat on.
Sure, absolutely. I'm with you. All right, we got to talk about Kevin Harvick here. You mentioned it. You know, you're more shocked he's not than Chase being in. You know, coming on the final lap, needed one more spot, tried the desperation move, didn't work. You know, you can have 2 bad weeks under this format if you're Kevin Harvick in round one. You can't in round two, or well, maybe it's round two, but definitely round three, as he just proved, you can't have 2 bad weeks. You know, that one spot finishing second to Joey Logano at Kansas proved to be detrimental as well. And when you've got guys like Martin Truex Jr. and Brad Keselowski and Chase Elliott, who going into the cutoff race are, you know, below the cut line, you knew they were going to bring it. What was the meltdown there for Harvick over these last 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I think plain and simple, if you want to be in the championship four, I think you have to be thinking win. I don't care how many points you've accrued during the regular season. You need to think about winning, because those 8 drivers are all the best of the best. That's why they've made the, you know, the 8 in that final round before he head to Phoenix. So, obviously at Kansas, everything looked like it was going to go fine. That second there did really no damage. If anything, just kind of propped up Kevin Harvick as almost a guarantee to be in Phoenix. But then, you know, a very untimely mistake at Texas, beginning in the wall. I think the moisture might have had something to do with it, but everybody was on the same racetrack and he had damage. And then they really went into Martinsville and they had a cushion. You know, they had a cushion in the teens. It really comes down to their lack of performance at the short track. They were unable to match the pace early of Denny Hamlin, who got a lot of stage points. They were unable to match the pace of Brad Keselowski late as he drove up inside the top five. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I hate it for Kevin and Ronnie. They've had a great year, but the format has been there. Sure. And I actually think when you listen to Kevin's answers, while he's not happy, he also doesn't blame anyone but themselves. I think he is okay with the fact that the format set this up, right? Like, I'm not saying he likes it.
Sure.
He's definitely not okay with it, but he's not pointing fingers anywhere else. He knows that it purely comes down to the performance of the four car. And that's what makes these championships so difficult.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and hey, I mean, this is the seventh year, and this is only the second time in those 7 years he hasn't been there. He knows the level of competition that it takes to get there. You know, he won the inaugural format, right? The inaugural championship back in 14 under this format. So he knows. It's kind of weird, I think, because, you know, we look at the big three last year in the Xfinity series, right? Like, you know, you wanted to see those three go duke it out for that one race. And I think that's where a lot of fans were this year with Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick. They wanted to be able to see those two duke it out. So, you know, what do you say to the fan that's feeling a little empty right now about Kevin Harvick not being in the final four?
Well, I think that there's more than enough competition. I actually think the Jim Penske cars have to be the favorites, as good as they've run at the higher downforce or higher horsepower, lower downforce tracks. And then you have Chase coming off a ton of momentum, and then Denny Hamlin, who won the race a year ago. So I have a storyline or a pathway for all four drivers to win a championship. I'm very confident that championship will come out of victory lane. I think you're going to have to win the race. And I think it's okay for a fan to be disappointed that Kevin Harvick's not in. You know, I think the beauty of sports is that fans can feel however they want to feel. And that's the beauty of them. You know, I go to a baseball game with my son and we can leave there with two different opinions on the game. And I think that's something in racing. It's okay if fans are upset that Harvick didn't make it. It's okay that fans are happy he didn't make it. The most important thing is that fans are passionate about it. And I am confident, though, the four drivers we do have going to Phoenix are going to put up a big battle.
Took the words right out of my mouth there. Passionate fans, that's all we can ask for. And I tell you what, like you said, you could write a story. The narrative is there for all four drivers. And as the listeners know, I love me a good narrative. And like you said, there is definitely a narrative for all four. So there's some, you know, chatter and speculation, talk and all this about radio communications towards the end of the race in terms of, you know, don't pass and this with helping the teammate, you know, and I know the rules say, you know, the driver's got to, you know, be competing for each position that he, you know, physically can be going out there to get on the track. You know, do you agree with that rule? Like, you know, we've got drivers that aren't necessarily maybe in the playoffs, aren't competing for a win, but they have teammates out there. You know, should a driver be able to help another teammate gain a track position spot or vice versa, not get a spot? You know, what's your take on that?
So I love the intent of the rule, but I really despise how the rule is written. You know, there's a lot of strategies that these organizations use to improve their throughout the entire season, whether it happens on the racetrack or off the racetrack, whether it's information shared during the week, information shared on a Sunday, or even how the drivers compete with one another on the track. And I'm fine with all of those. What I don't enjoy and where this rule was created is when drivers, teams, or cars try to manipulate the flow of the race and everyone else's race. You know, and I think how teammates race one another is their prerogative, and I don't have a problem. You know, it seems like from the radio transcripts that I've read that Eric Jones perhaps didn't have the intentions of passing Denny Hamlin. And I will say, while I don't love it, I'm okay with it. And I feel like it's been made better. But in the end, the most important thing is that the race itself is run with no intentions, you know, whether it's a caution brought out on purpose or whatever it may be. I mean, I think that's the goal of NASCAR, is to have the race run clear and clean.
Yep.
And I watched that Martinsville race, and you know, there was a lot that happened over 500 laps. And I think if anybody looks at one position in the closing laps and thinks that is the, that was it, that was the smoking gun of the outcome. There was just so many things that happened. I'm not going to get too hung up on that.
Sure. No, I'm with you. Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, hey, you got teammates to help push at Talladega. You know, if as long as you're not impacting, you know, then, yeah, I see 100% where you're coming from there, and I'm with you there. All right, man, we're headed to Phoenix for one last hoorah of a crazy 2020 year. I'm with you with the Penske's probably being the odds on favorite to the early bet lines anyways. But hey, when it's all said and done, what's Steve Letarte got lined up for the offseason? Anything fun with the family or anything like that?
You know, I really am. I don't get too carried away. I can't wait to get to Phoenix to crown a champion. And then as, it'll be good to take a week off, but then it won't take long to start missing racing once again. This year has been a challenge for everyone, you know, my family included. I'm proud of the effort that my children have put in with some a little bit remote. They've been able to go back to school a little bit, so they've got a little bit of taste of both. But I'll be honest, just the lack of travel, the lack of going to the races. I've been able to go to the last few, but I missed so many through the summer that I still have this thirst for racing. Sure. So, you know, when the season ends, while I think it is deserving to come to an end for all the work that the drivers, teams, NASCAR, and everybody in between put in, I'll be definitely thirsting for racing well before we get down to Daytona in February. So we're going to have to find something to fill our time for sure.
I love it. Steve, where can everybody follow you at on social media?
No, as always, it's at Steve Letarte, both on Instagram and Twitter. I love to interact with the fans. It's always so much fun. I love to hear their opinions, whether they agree with me, disagree with me, like what I say, like the race, don't like the race. I think, you know, passionate fan base is the key. Now I'm a big fan of the block button. You know, I will tell you that I love a passionate fan, and I love to have a heated debate, but there's a big difference between a heated debate and then just rude or belligerent. 100%. And so I'm a big fan of the mute or the block, but there's a lot of people out there I actually follow that I disagree with. And I would encourage everyone in this crazy 2020 that follow a few people they don't see completely eye to eye with. And I think we'd all be better off.
I love that, man. Absolutely. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Steve Letarte with NBC for calling into the show. Steve, safe travels next week. Enjoy the finale. Hope you and the family have a great holiday season and all that good stuff, man. And look forward to talking to you again next year, man.
I always enjoy being on the pod. It's so much fun. And, man, I just can't wait. Can't wait to head out to the desert. I'm not going to handicap it because I think we're going to have a great race both Saturday and Sunday. Championship weekend. It's going to be fun.
Awesome, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
See ya. Well, that was absolutely awesome. Love talking to Steve Letarte. It's just such a great guy. The amount of knowledge that guy's got on this sport is just incredible. And love getting to talk with him for sure. All right. Let's talk some stuff. Martinsville. Damn. Let's start with the trucks, as I always do. Friday night, short track truck race to determine who goes to the championship. Are you kidding me? I will take that scenario all day, every day. Now, let's look at some things here. Teammates finished 1-2 with two restarts late in the race, which I'm good with that. Sign me up for that too. You know, I know you guys have seen like Sherwin and I complaining about cautions. And for me specifically, and I know Sherwin too, it's like the competition caution thing. Don't really have a full grasp on that. Like it just, I don't understand it. You know, we're getting, I'm not going to go off on that tangent because I've done it too many times. You know, it's the wasting laps under stage breaks. Those are my two biggest issues. And I'm okay with the stages. I'm okay with awarding points. I know Sherwin would like it to stay green and just award the points like they used to award a cash prize to the leader halfway through. You know, I don't mind the yellows, but what I don't like is counting the laps against those yellows. That's my biggest thing. But anyways, I digress back. You know, so you're going to give me some late restarts at Martinsville in the truck series on a Friday night. Yes, I'm good with that. Absolutely loved it. You know, so where are we at? Where am I at here? Martinsville. I love the fact that Grett Enfinger was able to pull off the win in a must-win situation. Picks up win number 4 on the season. Last year, the regular season champ got eliminated in the first round with the Vegas fiasco. Looked to be on the verge of elimination again this year. Grant Enfinger pulls off the Hail Mary, gets the win, and is going to Phoenix, where he will compete for the championship with Creed, Moffitt, and Zane Smith. You know, this is not the truck Final Four I would have predicted. I could tell you that. And, hey, I mean, no one follows what I predict. Otherwise, I'd be in the Final Four in my own fantasy league, which ain't the case. I'm bummed for Austin Hill. He was one of those that I had in my Final Four. You know, I wanted to see him in there with Moffitt. You know, they've done some great things on the track during the regular season. And I think each of the series, Truck, Xfinity, and Cup, we can kind of say, hey, man, I kind of like to see someone else in there just because of what happened during the regular season. You know, I've said it. I've exhausted it in terms of feeling cheated just because of the regular season that, you know, drivers have. And it's not exclusive just to Kevin Harvick this year. You know, I've said it, you know, I want the big three from last year in the Xfinity series. You know, you want to see that. You know, you've watched and invested so much time during the regular season that, all right, yes, these guys are the guys, you know, let them go have at it for that championship. Not the case, but that's all right. You know, for me, you know, Austin Hill and Grant Enfinger, it's a personal thing for me a little bit too. Both are big friends of the show. I've had them both on. I think they're fantastic guys, and I'm happy one of them is at least in there. So I will definitely be pulling for Grant Enfinger on Friday to pick up his first NASCAR Truck Championship. So I'm excited about that. All right, let's talk a little Xfinity series for Martinsville. Look, man, Harrison Barton playing spoiler back-to-back races. Picking up the win, but not in the playoffs. And well, I mean, he was in the playoffs, got eliminated by a few points in the previous round. If I'm Briscoe, Allgaier, Haley, or Cindric, I am thanking my lucky stars that Burton didn't make it to this round because he has some crazy momentum going. Could you imagine if he pulls off 3 in a row and not in the playoffs? I mean, we're talking, you know, Harrison Burton, a rookie, very well is just a few spots away from going and competing for a championship there. Just a few, a week too late when he started this momentum, that's for sure. You know, I didn't take Ross Chastain this past week, so it wasn't me that had the jinx on him. As unfortunate as that is, I wish I did, because I would have loved to have seen Ross get to victory lane and win his way to the championship. You know, Chastain in that must-win situation, unable to get it done. I say surprisingly didn't get to the Final Four, because he's one of those guys at the beginning of the year, based on his dominance in the trucks last year, knowing how good Colic Racing is and what that team was going to be able to do this year. I'd have bet a lot of money that Chastain would have made it to the Final Four. So I'll say surprising, but, you know, based on the season, no wins, just really didn't get to that next level this year in the Xfinity series to make it there. So it's shocking, but not shocking, I guess. But that said, we definitely got Justin Haley in the Final Four, and I'll get to that in a second here. One more thing on Chastain is that while I'm stunned he didn't get to the victory lane, I am very excited to see what he is going to do next year at CGR. I think everybody's excited. I think everybody's kind of like, all right, this is just a little couple years later than expected, but nonetheless, we're going to get it next year, and I'm excited to see what Chastain does full-time Cup in it at Chip Ganassi Racing. That's going to be very fun to watch. I am excited. We are getting Briscoe Cindric showdown. You know, we wanted that. Those guys, I mean, I wanted it at least. I assume you guys wanted it. You know, dominated the regular season in the Xfinity series. You know, and then you got Allgaier and Haley. Our Final Four have a combined 20 wins of the 32 races ran this year in the Xfinity Series. With everyone set to zero, this could be the race of the weekend next weekend. I'm just saying, I'm super pumped. I could make the argument why all of them could go out there and win. And it's kind of hard not to make that argument when they've all got multiple wins, like 9 wins, 3 wins, 3 wins, 5 wins. Like, there's no reason that none of those guys couldn't go out there and pick it up next weekend. So I am very, very excited about that. All right, time for the cup. Yes, the cup. The siren is going. Man, what a race. What an ending. The whole playoff series, we've seen guys make mistakes, take advantage. Martin Truex Jr. out front, dominating, looking like he was going to take himself to Phoenix. But not so much. Chase Elliott picks up win number 4 on the year and is the second driver of the weekend in a must-win situation to punch his own ticket to Phoenix. You heard Steve Letarte and I talk about it at the start of the show. This win took Chase to the next level. And he might climb 2 steps in 2 weeks. We'll see what happens here this Sunday for sure. But before we wrap up all that, got some more to say. I love that Chase won on Sunday. I love that Chevy is represented in the Final Four and has a legit shot to go out and win this thing. But Chase is going to have to do something he has not done before. And that is, I'll say probably, more than likely going to have to do something he has not done before. And that is win back-to-back races. And I hope like hell Jeff and I next week are forced to say Chevy is back. Because what else would there be to say? Finally, you've heard Jeff Striegel and I for the last couple years debate and go back and forth. Chevy back, are they not back? Chevy winning their way into the championship race, and if they pick up the championship win, I'll be able to say it, and I'm curious. I hope that's what happens so that Jeff and I are put on that spot. It's great to have them back in there. 4 wins in the Final Four on the verge of his first championship in just his first 5 years in Cup. Man. I'm excited to see what happens on Sunday. You got Logano going for his second championship under this format, so he knows what's coming on Sunday. You get Keselowski going for his second championship, first under this format. And then you got Denny going for his first championship along with Chase. Denny and Logano probably the favorites just because they've been here before, But we've seen Hamlin crack under this pressure. He's been to the Final Four, hasn't been able to capitalize on it. Can Logano repeat? Man, there's so many ways that this thing could pan out. I absolutely love the narrative. All right. So shout out, major shout out to CJ Wolliver on Fox. CJ and I were texting for about the last 100 laps of the race. Everybody knows CJ is a diehard Harvick fan, so him and I were trying to keep each other as sane as possible. I had to shut it off for a few minutes because I was so frustrated. CJ, him and I, we kept each other cool, and it was nice to kind of talk each other off the ledge there while we were watching that. I'll wrap with this about Kevin Harvick. I'm obviously sad. I feel cheated from a fan perspective, not from a NASCAR perspective, not from a podcast perspective. I absolutely love this format. I do not want it to change. Sure, I'd like 5 championships, and under the old format, he probably has those. But what good, in my opinion, does it do for the sport if the championship is decided 3 races before the last race? That isn't fun. That doesn't help attract perspective with fans once fans are allowed back and all that good stuff. I love that the last race determines the championship. I love the elimination format. I love, it mirrors to a degree the stick and ball format where anything can happen. Your regular season gets you there, but you got to be perfect or damn near perfect in the playoffs to get that championship, and it should be that hard. I truly believe that. What I don't love is the fact that Kevin Harvick isn't there. But hey, this is the 7th year under this format. He won it the inaugural year under this format. This is only the second time he hasn't made it there. He's had ample opportunity to lock up another championship or two and hasn't been able to do so. All that said, incredible year, 9 wins. Maybe he plays spoiler and for the first time in the Cup Series under this format, maybe he wins and plays spoiler to the Final Four and picks up that 10th win. Wouldn't be surprised. It is his playground, so to speak. So I'm excited. See who comes away with it on Sunday. There's no doubt about it. We're in for a treat. Again, kind of like the Truck Series, to where I said this isn't the Final Four I would have predicted. I can't quote myself because I don't remember what my Final Four picks were, but I know that it was Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, and I don't remember who my fourth was. So I definitely had a different Final Four for sure. But like I said, excited to see what happens on Sunday. All right, that is going to do it for this week's racing discussion. Let's do a little social media, shall we? Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and of course, Instagram and Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to the show, subscribe, download, leave a comment, all that good stuff. The prize pack, 5,100 followers. I think it's down to about 30, 35 to go. So hopefully get to give that away next week. That'd be very cool on the recap of the season and all that good stuff, and look forward to being able to do that. Some new follower shout outs: Steve Noon at NASCAR91, NASCAR fan from Minnesota. Derek Cousins at DC Stang 1, big cars and motorsports fan. Mike at Vern Jr. _88, left or right turns. He just loves him some racing. Jovanna at Jovanna993, a Blaney and Penske fan. Welcome to the show, everybody. Tell your friends and all that good stuff. And don't forget, stickers, koozies are free. If you want one, visit the website, go to the contact page, fill out the request form there, and I will send them out to you. Okay, let's keep things going. Let's get Mr. Brian Newdorf and Aaron Studwell on the line for the final weather segment of 2020. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line for take two of a very special weather edition. I'm excited. I've got both Aaron Studwell and Brian Newdorf. You know where you can follow them, at RaceWeather and at NASCAR_WXMAN. They're on the line. Gentlemen, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, sir. Doing well, and yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. Mr. Newdorf, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. You know, hey, we're plowing through, so we're trying to get things done.
Excellent. Yes, it's the last weather edition of 2020. Happy to have you guys here. Let's start, though, with the atrocious Michigan game that was on Saturday. It was a bad sports weekend for me. I talked about it at the start of the show. Michigan, the Lions, which, I mean, hey, that's just expected, but that just added fuel to the fire there. And Kevin Harvick and all that good stuff. Just not a good outcome for me from a sports perspective this past weekend. Aaron, what did you think of the game? Because I just thought it was sloppy and obviously didn't like the end result there.
To me, the game ended when Michigan went to the Wildcat in that short yardage situation down in like first and goal, second goal in the second quarter, and you're taking your best athlete off the field and best offensive athlete, and you're just, and then the time management at the end of the first half, at the end of the game, it makes me wonder how much longer the $9 million man is going to be there. I'm getting tired of the situation.
I'm telling you, after it, I think he'll get the pass just because of COVID, I think, is the only reason why he'll be back next year. And at that point, I mean, you better go undefeated. Otherwise, that's going to be year 8, and it's going to be time to go.
And real quick about the COVID thing, you played a team with the rookie head coach that didn't have spring practice and had shortened practices because of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
You lost, and I hate to say a lesser team, but maybe they aren't that good because Minnesota went down to the turtle shell and lost to the Terrapins, although in overtime.
Right. Yeah. No. It's
just, yeah, maybe Minnesota's not that good either.
I'd lean that way as well. Mr. Newdorf, how'd your Boilermakers do this weekend?
Well, I do, but I don't mind weighing in on your guys' game either. I mean, number one, I just no. I mean, listen, Michigan should be. You know, you're not Michigan. You're not. You know, guaranteed elite status in the Big Ten. You do have to earn that. But you're right. I mean, you guys have your coach there who was brought in to not just win, you know, championships, but Big Tens, and you've done neither.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even a hint of a trip to Indy.
No, and now he's 1-6 against Ohio State and Michigan State, and you say as me as being a football alum, those are our two biggest rivals.
Sure.
Okay, Notre Dame's in there, but conference wise, you're playing your in-state rival and your downstate rival, and you've just done nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is sad. I mean, they've had moments where you think you got to win the big games. I think that's the bottom line. You got to win the big games. As far as the Boilermakers, we're undefeated.
Hell yeah.
Good.
Very nice.
We haven't played anybody. And I'll be honest. I mean, I was at one point, and this is just the Boilermaker in me. I mean, we're playing against Illinois, who's playing, I think, their fourth and fifth string quarterback. I mean, if you want to talk about a team devastated by Corona, and we're still trying to figure out. As of recording this, we don't know if we have a game this week because of Wisconsin. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
And then, you know, and we're still not sure why our top receiver hasn't played yet, even though he came back. So, but we won. It wasn't pretty. And at one point, some of us as fans in the Newdorf household were like, some of the time management and even some of the management calls, you're up by two scores and you start passing it. And so there was just some definite play situations that were questionable. We could have just ran it and burned off clock. I mean, a win's a win. We'll take it. But still, yeah.
Those things. In tighter games, those are the decisions you have to make correctly.
Yeah.
And then speaking of rivals, what's the hell with Indiana? Okay, come on. I can't handle that one. This is all topsy-turvy 2020 world. I don't know. No, Indiana's actually a good team. I just
I mean, Michigan's, I think, heading to Bloomington this weekend. So yes. I don't even know what the line is, but and I usually do. But I don't feel good about that game.
Not now. And Aaron, you and I talked last week that, you know, whatever that crazy record is against Michigan and Indiana, eventually that's going to get snapped. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the year.
Yeah,
and Indiana has played Jeff. If I remember correctly, Indiana has played Michigan fairly often.
Well. Always,
very well.
Always.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But they've also won. I think it was like 43 of the last 44 games. Yeah. Michigan's it's won. Nuts.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But yeah.
All right, let's talk a little NASCAR here, gentlemen. What'd you guys think of Martinsville? The race itself, outcomes. Go ahead, Studwell. What'd you think?
I thought it was a good weekend. For Friday night, trucks is really the most entertaining series we got going. And a good win by Enfinger. It was a shame for Rhodes. And if you would have told me Enfinger is 35, I'm not sure I would have believed it. But I enjoyed it. The Xfinity Series with Harrison Burton win, a non-playoff driver, but really setting himself up for next year. And then, we could just talk about the Cup race. It looks like Twitter and Facebook have done that for hours.
I'd say so. Newdorf, did you get to take in any of the racing this weekend?
I got a little bit of the Cup, and I didn't get to see much of the other ones. And I mean, I'm kind of agreeable with you guys. I mean, and obviously I'm not going to add to whatever. I mean, it was definitely interesting. You know, the outcome, but that's what happens if it's when to get in, you know, even if you're the best driver all season.
Sure.
That's the one thing about the playoff aspect. I mean, it was definitely, you know, in some ways good for Chase, but then again, you know, Harvick, I felt, given the way Harvick's been all season, should be in there, but that's not the way it plays out.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right.
And then real quick, the trucks, same situation for Austin Hill. That dead engine to go, and 116 laps in, and then he was one you would have, him and Harvick, or figured earlier this season would have been in the playoffs, and just can't even get there.
Yep, no, I'm with
you. But then again, like stick and ball sports, okay?
Oh,
if your team is gangbusters and you have like the best record going into the playoffs, but you just can't win your series, or you can't do something, then but football, you can't win your game, or if it's, you know, basketball or baseball, yep. you can't close out a team. It just depends on who gets hot, when, and where. I mean, you know, NASCAR's typically consistency's always been typically, I think the trouble with fans, especially, is consistency used to be the thing. If you were consistent and you had a good season overall and you were the most dominant, you should be running for a championship, not this, you know, leaving it down to just a handful of races. But that's how most sports figure out their championships.
Yeah, I'm going to get either dumped or beeped here by Mr. Crowd. Yeah, the best example of that is the Patriots against the Giants.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Oh, don't get me started on the two more Super Bowl rings that Eli Manning has stolen from Tom Brady. Oh, we're just going to leave it at that.
If you lose, that's not it. You have to have possession of something before it can be stolen. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, ask the Falcons about that.
All right. We're headed to Phoenix. How is the weather looking for the truck race, Mr. Studwell?
Well, I'm going to put a little cap. I'm going to start this with reference point. Thursday's high are going to be in the mid-90s. So we're going into Friday Truck Series race, FS1, 6 o'clock local start, 8 o'clock Eastern. Clear skies, windy, high of 91 in the day, 65 for the low. At the start of the race, it'll be in the low 80s. Winds 12 to 18 miles an hour from the south-southwest with higher gusts. And that is a crosswind at the start-finish line.
Excellent. All right. And Saturday's Xfinity Championship, Mr. Newdorf.
Well, it looks nice. I have my notes on my iPad, and I can't find my iPad. I'm trying to get ready for work while we're recording this. So now I feel like the biggest doofus in the world. So it does look nice, mostly sunny. Aaron, do you have temperatures? Because I can't find my information.
I do. 68 for the high.
There we go. Yes.
For the low.
Wow.
And windy again.
Big drop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm on the last episode. You know, I'm just sucking wind here. I'm like a Michigan team.
You're the one who has to work out of the office these days, and that's the difference. You actually have to.
You gotta
be someplace.
Yes. You gotta physically go somewhere. All right. How is Sunday looking?
Partly sunny, again, windy, southwest winds 18 to 22 miles an hour, higher gusts. Morning low 46, afternoon high 64.
Wow.
That's great weather. That is absolutely perfect.
No, it's
going to
be great. Yeah, no, I mean, just it is 30 degrees cooler than it will be on Thursday. And I'm going to throw this out here. There is a chance of showers Sunday night in the Phoenix area. Right now, that is not in play for the race, but we have seen scenarios where the timing's been changing from these early forecasts. So I'm not saying
just like nonstop drizzle for days.
62 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoy the races this weekend. Gentlemen, I got to just say the dedication to do this every other week for each of you to put it together every week is not unnoticed. It's very grateful. I'm very thankful and appreciative of you guys willing to do this for a long season here. It's been a blast this year, and definitely look forward to working with you guys next year as well.
Well, if you still have us, that's definitely sure. And I got to put out a shout. First of all, I got to say, Aaron has done an absolutely wonderful job because he's carried a lot of water for myself. With the career change and all the different things going on, it has been definitely more of a struggle to do this. And I think a lot of it, too, is home life work balance.
Sure.
You know, after a certain point, your gracious, your wonderful wife lets you, Brandon, do this. So, you know, my wife lets me do this, but I also know the sacrifice that she's put towards, you know, me allowing me to do this and the kids and stuff like that. So when some of their final stretch, I've been like, maybe I need to focus more on this. So, Aaron has really helped as far as the weather stuff goes. But the bottom line is we're a team, and we still work together, and it's not about egos. It's not about anything. So I really need to give a huge, huge, big thank you to Aaron for all of this. And thank you for having us on.
Of course.
You know, it's been a strange season. I think, you know, I'm glad we're not ending with like 17 races in a single Saturday, but I know it's not possible, but you know what I'm saying. But it just felt like, actually, at one point during the Texas's race, I just thought, why don't we just go back to iRacing? At least they, you know, just to get the race in at that point. I mean, I don't know if Aaron heard the podcast, but we just like the kind of, at that point, by the time we recorded it, they finally got it in. We were like, let's just do this amazing race style and see who gets back to Charlotte first.
Yes.
Cannonball run in NASCAR.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely.
No. But I will speak, since I didn't get a chance to, but it was really, because nobody had won, so we couldn't talk about that. But let's talk about it. Now, maybe this could be go down. And not that it seemed like it hurt, got in the way of Harvick or anything but that, but, you know, Kyle at least keeping his win streak going.
I think that actually helped him, because I think he would have been further Martin down in the points.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yep. if not for that, because Kyle was a non-playoff guy, that actually helped keep Harvick's point stretch gap as big as it was going into Martinsville. So the thing that hurt him potentially could have been, you know, could NASCAR have thrown that caution a little sooner out on the track? You know, was it a wet surface that caused him to go up into the wall there and you know, interfere with his day and cause him to struggle pretty much all day at Texas? So once they
that traction compound pretty much became ice.
Yep.
Once that light mist got on it. And I'm going to say one first, both of you, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the support. And thank you for having us both on this season. And it's been an interesting year from the start of the season to the iRacing break and the Pro Invitational, and then back to a very compressed schedule that really felt like it never ended sometimes. Yep. We had 12 races that were postponed, delayed, or interrupted by weather. But best of all, for the three of us working together and another season, and definitely looking forward to 2021, is really what, and Brian used the right word, what a great team we've all become, coordinating, supporting, helping. And really, I think this is maybe late 19, and Brian, and we've really become good friends. And that is something that is very special. It means a ton.
Just still have to physically meet, but still.
There's that.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I know, you are correct.
That is nuts. That is nuts.
There's a moment that we come close, but with potential races, but things just things being what they are.
Yes. If we can get back to the track next season, that'll be good.
Now with Kentucky not having one, I guess I'm going to have to make it to Michigan.
There you go.
Either Michigan or
Indy. Or Indy. Yeah. I mean, and I'm going to be that guy. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to be that guy in the sense that, you know, everybody talks about, when 2021, you know. I'm just going to say,
not like a light switch is going to get flipped.
Exactly. It's going to be like all the seasons that we deal with in weather. Everybody thinks when it turns spring, it's supposed to do this. When it turns fall, it's supposed to do this. It never does that.
Right. Yeah.
So,
basically
it's just going to be, but I mean, let's hope we can get more fans back. Hopefully we can do more things. But we still have this, and they still have racing, and they're still doing things. And who knows with, I can hope we can have college basketball. So, you know.
Yes, I'm with you there.
Yeah. That's my mind as well.
That's such a different beast than anything outside. But I mean, I've got to give a lot of travel and smaller compartment areas. I've got to give football and a lot of the sports credit. It's not the super spreader events that they thought maybe they could be. So there's that. Yeah.
And it's not the games, it's actually the practices. It winds up being, or honestly, guys going out and being roommates, and you know, it's hard to, and it's, this isn't slamming any team or football itself. It's just, it's being in that college environment.
And, well, as a dad of two college sophomores, it's tough. So
you just have to make sure it's like waiting for COVID to end. It's now like, when I hit the lottery.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. All righty, gentlemen. Thank you again. Really appreciate you guys. Everybody, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter @RaceWeather and Brian Newdorf @NASCAR_WXMAN. Gentlemen, great season. Enjoy the races this weekend, and we will catch you guys on the other side.
Sounds good. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Mr. Tree Up.
That's right. All right. We'll catch you guys later. All right. Great to catch up with Brian and Aaron. Can't wait to get those guys back on sometime down the road for sure. But it is time for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. And let me just tell you, Kevin Harvick climbed the tally board for lap downs this week. No surprise there. I think he's definitely going to now make the top 10 on both the Lucky Dog and Lap Down recap show in a couple weeks. That's for sure. All right, my lucky dog. I got two of them. It's Chase Elliott and Grant Enfinger. I think that's pretty obvious. And my lap down, well, I think that's also pretty obvious. And that's going to Mr. Kevin Harvick. All right, let's get to your tweeted responses. We got a lot of them. Scott at 1985, Wagner's Xfinity lucky dog. Barton for two wins in a row. Lap down Toyota Racing, no rep in the truck or Xfinity series. Scott's Cup, a lucky dog. Chase, race your way in. Lap down Kevin Harvick's 9-win season and no shot for the cup. CJ at CJ LaPearl's 24, lucky dog, the 19. What a heads up move by the Jackman and what a drive. Lap down Harvick. I, along with the entire fan base, cannot believe he did not make it to the final four. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, lucky dog Chase, the boy learned how to finish in the clutch. Lap down, damn it, Harvick. Boot his ass on entry. Disappointed, was pulling hard for the four. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, lucky dog, the siren is ringing extra loud as long as Chase made it to the final four. Lap down the four team, still shaking my head and trying to digest that one. I feel ya. Eddie at Eddie underscore EG3's lucky dog, Brad K, rallied back from the speeding penalty to make it to the title race in Phoenix. Lap down Harvick. Team missed the setup, misses golden opportunity to make it to the championship four. Eric Sauter, lucky dog. Chase Elliott winning and advancing to the championship four. Lap down Kevin Harvick failing to advance and knowing there's only one more race, we'll see Jimmy Johnson in a cup car. And to all complaining about Harvick not making it, Jeff Gordon won 10 races in 1996, failed to win the title. And let's not forget the Patriots not winning the Super Bowl and last year's Tampa Bay Lightning playoff loss in round one. It happens. It does happen. Eric, I'm still not over the fact that Tom Brady should have two more Super Bowl rings, in my opinion. Kristen at K Hoglin 79, lucky dog. All the people who got to attend Martinsville and got to eat one of those delicious hot dogs. I love that. Lap down. Martin Truex Jr. just couldn't get it done. Colin at Colin underscore with underscore cars. Lucky dog, engine number 9 for rigging the siren to make it to Phoenix. That's my pick right now. Lap down Harvick. How the bleep do you win 9 and don't get to the championship? Oh, Colin, I feel you. I feel you. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mick. Lucky dog Chase got it done when it counted. Lap down Harvick didn't get it done when it counted. I love you, Mick. Jeff at JBev 1789's a lucky dog. Bowman with a 5th, 7th, 6th, 9th, 16th, 5th, 14th, 8th, 3rd, 5th, and 6th finishes. What a turnaround for this team. So much to build on for next year. Lap down Harvick. Man, do I feel for him. Just doesn't seem right not being in the champ four. Lisa at LL Chill Nana's lucky dog is holy bleep Chase Elliott. Lap down Harvick. He had such an impressive season and to miss the championship. Chad at Chad Allman 10's lucky dog Chase. No brainer. Lap down is the point system. That is Harvick not racing for a championship. Dramatic and entertaining for sure, but just doesn't feel right. Kenny at STL Cards Rule for Ev. Lucky dog Chase. Lap down NASCAR. Something is wrong with the system that doesn't ensure a 9-win season doesn't race for a championship. Kenny, good to hear from you, man. It's been a minute. Stan at Stan the Man's lucky dog Chase. Lap down Harvick. Those are obvious. And last but not least, Carson at Carson Haglin. Lucky dog Chase winning in dominant fashion. Harvick being eliminated and Burton winning 2 in a row. Oh, you guys brought it strong this week. Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to a couple calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Camper News. What an unbelievable final race of the round of 8 at Martinsville today. It was incredible. You know, Chase Elliott making that, and you know, that possible penalty on pit road, which honestly, look at the replay, I think NASCAR made the right decision to rescind that penalty, and that helped him win this race without a doubt, and him making the championship four. And I am very excited for Chase. I really hope, you know, wish him the best of luck next weekend at Phoenix. and battle at the end to see who's going to get the final spot in the championship four was just incredible. So anyway, my lucky dog for this week, no question, Chase Elliott, having to come in and win, he did that and make the championship four. And I'm really excited to see, how he does next weekend out at Phoenix. And, the penalty, possible penalty, as I mentioned, during that pit stop, which was rescinded, really, I think, helped him, be able to overcome that and win the race was incredible. My letdown, no question, is going to go to Kevin Harvick, regular season champion and, couldn't get it done. Not making the championship four. And, I'm going to be very honest. The championship four this year, unlike previous years, not the best are in it, which tells you, I think, it is very competitive. I think this year the championship, the playoffs have been really competitive unlike other years. So anyway, enjoy your week as always, Brandon, Lap Traffic Nation. I'll talk to you next weekend after the championship four race at Phoenix. Thank you so much, Brandon. Take care. Bye.
Oh, Matt, thanks for calling in. As always, we're going to talk to you here in just a little bit as you made the Final Four in the Lap Traffic Fantasy. Congrats there. And one thing that really stuck out with what you said is that the champion, the Final Eight this year was probably the most competitive that it has ever been. I said that going into it. I thought this was going to be the most competitive Final Eight, and it proved to definitely be a factor in the outcome and who's racing this weekend. Absolutely love it. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline. It's Miss Kathleen, who is at the races this weekend.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I'm so happy that I was able to go to Martinsville this weekend for all three races, though I would have gladly stood in line longer for concessions and the bathroom if it meant that more fans could have attended. But I was happy that I got to go. The truck race got a little rowdy, but I thought the Xfinity and Cup races were a little tamer than I expected them to be. And I'll say this about the Harvick deal. It's not fair to say it's not fair that he didn't make the cut. Of course, I'm disappointed, but that's the way this playoff system works, and we all know what the rules are. I always liked the old points tally way of determining the champion, even if it meant it was decided well before the last race. But that being said, I believe that this system is the best of the ginned up ones we've had since. Only because of its absolute unpredictability. It's the complete opposite of the old points way, and if we're going to make it different, let's completely make it different. My lucky dog this week is going to go to Harrison Burton for his win, and more important, breaking his old man's record of being the youngest Xfinity winner at Martinsville. It's very cool that our sport has so many generations like that following in footsteps and racing. I don't know that other sports have as much of that, so it's pretty cool. And my lap down is going to go to the four team, and that's all I have to say about that. I can't believe we've only got one more weekend. I cannot wait to see who gets all the marbles for trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. I think it's going to be a good one, and I'm sad but excited at the same time. Anywho, that's all I got for now. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in. So glad you got to go take in a race. Not many more NASCAR fans are as deserving as you to be able to go and take in a race. Between you and Palmer, I think you two got it wrapped up in terms of fan appreciation and just how awesome people you guys are. I am so glad you got to get out there and take in three races before this thing is all said and done. I'm bummed. Last year, at this time, we were getting ready to go to Homestead. We hung out and all that good stuff, and I'm bummed we didn't get to do that this year. But definitely looking forward to doing that next year for sure. All right. One more for you. You know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's going on, Lab Traffic Nation? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline at Racing Cants. New name this week, Championship Cants. We're going championship racing. I can't even put into words how happy I was when old William Clyde crossed the finish line in P1. I went crazy. And I was speechless. Other than yelling, I made the dogs bark, and I got nothing to say to that. In terms of the race itself, I can honestly say that might have been one of the best races I have ever sat down and watched, from start to finish. Between playoff drama, good racing itself, it was one thing after another. Harvick attempting to, you know, junk Kyle Busch, that was awesome. I mean, that is what this format is supposed to do. Whether you like this format or not, it is what it is. I've seen a lot of people complaining, saying that, well, Harvick won 9 races, he should be in the final four by default. No, I don't agree with that. He got 15 points for winning the regular season championship and still was unable to reach the final four. That's the way the format is. Whether people like the format or not, that's up for you to decide. I don't think it's an awful format, because I do think that you get a chance in the regular season and the playoffs to not be in that situation, to attempt to, you know, qualify for that final four. So he did what he could, but at the end of the day, you still got to perform in the playoffs. You can't just cakewalk your way in. And, you know, this is an example of that this year, when you have, you know, two guys outside the top 4 in points that go out and they win in the rounds 8. And I said, this was going to happen. And I called it on your show that Hamlin or Harvick, there's a good chance they're going to miss it. One of them missed it. I hate that for you and all the other Kevin Harvick fans out there. I'm friends with a few of them. And it sucks for them. But 9 wins is no season to scoff at. So I was excited for Phoenix. Bradley, Joseph, and Dennis, my 3 favorite drivers. Oh, it's going to be a fun one. Buckle up.
Oh, Mr. Andrew Cantian, love it. Love the enthusiasm. So happy for you that you got Chase in there. I wanted to take this opportunity because I kind of figured I knew you were going to go with things, and I purposely left out some talk about Kevin Harvick during the Cup thing to kind of recap and end the lucky dog and lap down things there. You mentioned, you know, Harvick and Kyle Busch, and I said this on PETM last night, and that is that Kevin Harvick doesn't make that move if Kyle Busch is racing for the lead. I don't think he does that move if Kyle Busch is in the playoffs. Those two obviously have had their beef in the past. I think those two have, over the last couple years, earned each other's respect. I'm not saying they're, you know, besties or anything like that, but those two definitely are a lot more tolerant of each other. You know, I'm bummed. I don't recall seeing a interview with Kyle Busch at the end of the race. You know, that was, you know, a desperation move. And, you know, I don't fault him for doing it. I think Kyle Busch would have done the exact same thing if roles were reversed there. And I don't fault that at all. And I said it during my talk about the Cup race, was that I don't want this format to change. I love it. I love the excitement and the drama that it brings, for sure. You absolutely called it, that one of those two weren't going to make it. And I was kind of thinking, all right, if that's the case, it's probably going to be Harvick that doesn't make it because of how Martinsville fell. You know, years past, Martinsville was the second to last race before the cutoff, and Harvick had Phoenix to go to and make up ground. And this year, with Phoenix being the championship, he needed that win at Kansas to get there. And Texas, you know, was an anomaly because he's normally pretty good there too. You know, so that being the case, you know, he got his reward for killing it in the regular season. He got his 15 extra bonus points compared to Chase Elliott, who I think maybe got what, five? Or no, he had three races, you know, half of, not even half, less than half of what Harvick had, and he made it. So he got his reward for the regular season and didn't get it done. I love him, and I hope he's back there next year, and I hope I get to be there to watch it. It stings still this year, and that is what it is, and I am excited for a fresh Final Four. We got a fresh Final Four. And it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to Sunday. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time to close this thing out with a little Lap Traffic Fantasy. You guys have no idea how excited I am to know that I've got all Final Four members of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League on the line. I was hoping it would work out, and it worked out flawlessly. I am so pumped. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Joe Hewson, Joel Nolf, Matt Camper, Robert Riggs, your Lap Traffic Final Four. Gentlemen, good evening. How are you?
What's up?
Good, Brandon.
Yeah. Good.
Doing good, man.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm so pumped. Oh, I absolutely love it. All right. First of all, gentlemen, I got to thank you all for your dedication to the league and getting here. It means the world to me. The league was pretty strong this year, and hopefully it's bigger and better next year. And, guys, I hope you had a blast this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So much fun.
Oh, it was amazing this year, I thought.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, let's do this. I'm going to hit the standings real quick, and then I'll give you guys some time to make some comments and all that good stuff. All right, the Final Four, Joe Hewson, man. Once you knocked out Jess Rose, man, you ran away with it. You finished in first, but you're reset to zero just like everybody else for this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of good that does me.
Then it's Joel Nolf, Matt Camper, and Lap Traffic Nation. Here's how close it was. Robert Riggs, the fourth place guy with 1,043, beat out Brian Hall, who had 1,042, Kent Dolphy, who had 1,040, and beat out David James with 1,039. This thing was close, and I absolutely love it. Congratulations, guys. There's hardware on the line. And let me tell you, this year's trophies are badass. Like, I've picked it out already. It's just a matter of getting names.
Awesome.
You guys are going to love the trophy, let me tell you. All right, so let's do this. We'll start with Joe, who finished in first, man. Any smack talk? What'd you think of Martinsville? The floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, well, you kind of beat me to my one smack talk. My one point is just dominating the whole season. But again, that really... that's not going to do me anything this week, as Kevin Harvick can speak to. I guess I know a little bit. But yeah, Martinsville is great. It's the whole playoffs has been awesome, and people can complain about the playoffs or, you know, package for certain races and whatnot. But overall, I don't know how you can't have enjoyed this whole season, really, to be honest. It's been great.
I'm with you 100%. You all know I'm disappointed, but I don't want to change a thing. It's just the way it works out. It happens in the stick and ball sports, and it happens in NASCAR. So I totally get it. I'm with you 100%. Joel Nolf, man, what you got, man?
I thought it was great as well. I am bummed about the Kevin Harvick thing. That was my whole plan, to keep him till the end. So that sucks, but whatever. I think he'll still run well.
I think he would definitely still run well, for sure. Yeah. Mr. Camper News, brother, what's up, man? What'd you think of the racing, and what do you got for us?
I thought the racing this weekend at Martinsville was incredible, especially with, you know, the fact that it was the last race of the round of eight and going into the championship four, you know. Martin Truex, Chase Elliott, really, you know, hard-fought battles. And, you know, Chase Elliott had a great race, and I'm very happy that he won, and, you know, wishing him best luck in the Final Four this weekend. But, you know, in the Laugh Track Fantasy League, first year in the league, and who would have thought I would have gotten to the round of the Final Four in my first year?
I wouldn't absolutely have thought,
I didn't think that would happen back at Daytona. I thought I would come in like maybe the top 16, maybe finish 12th or something like that. But getting to the round of four, I couldn't have imagined that.
Oh, I love it.
At the beginning of the year.
I love it. I love it for sure. You know, I mentioned it a little bit ago. You know, this year's Final Eight, the guys that got there, the level of competition was just so top-notch. You had to have a perfect round, basically, to make it. Rob, last but not least, man, number four. What you got, man?
Man, I didn't get a chance to watch it this weekend. I was hung up with softball, which I am tonight, too, but I was able to make the call. But catch it up on Twitter. I heard it was pretty exciting there at the end with the slowing down of Eric Jones and knocking Harvick out, letting Hamlin get in. I heard a lot of smack talk going on there, but it is what it is, and I guess you call it team racing. I mean, I don't know what other way to say it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, hey, you can do it in Talladega and Daytona. You know, I don't have a problem with the fact that, you know, there were some team orders maybe, you know, whether they're blatant about it or they come up with code words. Like, if you're not racing for the win and it was somebody not in the playoffs or wasn't going to advance either, whether it was like an SHR teammate or whatever, you know, what's the point of having teammates then? Like, you know, if something could have worked out from a teammate perspective, I'm all for that. What do you guys think, Joe?
Yeah, as long as you're not causing a caution or something like that, I think it's fine to hold off on passing somebody or you know, letting somebody by. Those situations, I think it's fair game.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Fair game to me.
Fair game. Yeah. Absolutely. Teamwork,
just like you mentioned with Daytona and Talladega, that's the way I felt about it.
Yeah.
You use teamwork and strategy there. So as long as you're not causing any kind of wrecks or cautions or stopping the race or halting it in any way, I see no harm.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. All right, guys. You guys sent your picks in ahead of time just to make sure everything's as fair as it's been the rest of the year. I can tell you this. The odds of a tie would be so astronomical. It's not even funny, so that's a good thing. We don't have to worry about anything like that. Gentlemen, what do you say? Are you ready to make some picks?
Let's go.
All right. Lap traffic. The Final Four, Joe Hewson, Joel Nolf, Matt Camper, Robert Riggs are headed to Phoenix. The Joes have Kevin Harvick still available, and we know how dominant he can be at Phoenix. Does Harvick rebound and play spoiler and pick up win number 10, even though he isn't fighting for the championship? Robert Riggs has the Tua Keselowski still available, who is still in the hunt for his second championship. And Matt Camper needed a Hail Mary, as he does not have a Final Four driver available. There is the Xfinity and Truck Picks, who maybe goes off the beaten path and takes a flyer on Justin Haley, maybe versus Chase Briscoe or Austin Cindric. And over in the Truck Series, I bet things are spread out as well, or as spread out as they can be with four players. Who's going to win some lap traffic hardware? We'll find out this weekend. But first, it's time for their picks. I'm not even making any picks. It's these guys' show today. They sent their picks in. Let's see who takes who. We will start with Joe Hewson over in the Truck Series. Joe Hewson, who's your pick for the Truck Series?
This was a really tough one. I definitely bounced around between a few different people, but at the end of the day, I settled on Sheldon Creed.
Sheldon Creed, I like it. Joel Nolf, who do you have for the Truck Series?
I'm going Grant Enfinger.
I love it. Grant Enfinger. Hell yeah. I like that. Matt Camper, who is your pick for the Truck Series?
I am going with Brett Moffitt.
Solid. I like that. Robert Riggs, who are you rolling with?
Oh, I had a little tough choice, too. I was in between Burton and Enfinger. And looking at it and studying on the smaller tracks, Enfinger's been pretty dominant with, I believe, two wins there. And I'm going with Enfinger.
I love it. All right, we're going to move over to the Xfinity Series. Joe Hewson, who is your pick?
You didn't mention him on your list earlier, so maybe I'm going off the range here, but I'm going with Justin Allgaier.
Well, you're going to see why I didn't do that in a minute. Joel Nolf, who is your pick for the Xfinity Series?
I'm playing it safe. I'm going Chase Briscoe.
Matt Camper, who's your pick for the Xfinity Series?
I am also going with Justin Allgaier.
And Robert Riggs, who are you going with in the Xfinity Series?
Let's make that three all guys.
There you go, Joe Houston. Now you know why.
All right.
All right.
I was hoping to ease that one in there. I was hoping the other guys were going to pick from Sandrick or Briscoe or something, but hey.
How crazy is that? No pick for Austin Cindric. All right. The big dance on Sunday, the Cup Series. Joe Houston, who are you rolling with?
Well, I'm right there. Was it Joe, I think, also that saved Harvick? And you can't not pick him, though. I don't have any other options. What am I gonna pick Tyler Reddick for this race? No, it's Kevin Harvick.
I love it. Joel Knoll, who are you going with?
Yep, exactly how I feel. Kevin Harvick.
I love it. Matt Camper, no Final Four drivers for you left. Who'd you go with this week?
I am going with someone who actually had a pretty good day at Martinsville last weekend, and that is Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch, I like that. That's a solid pick. And Robert Riggs, who are you going with?
I think I saved the best for last, hopefully. It's Brad Keselowski. He should have a dominant car coming out, and he saved that badass car he had. I forget which race it was. It was a few races back with that 750 package, and I think he may have the car.
Bad Brad, I love it. All right, there is not going to be a tie. I will lose my mind if there is a tie. There is enough variation there that should not be an issue. Gentlemen, I absolutely love it. Thank you all so much for making this work. It was so cool. Best of luck to all of you guys. And hey, whoever wins next week, you got a spot on the show next week to come and talk some smack. So best of luck to you guys.
All right.
Brandon.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
That's awesome, man. Thanks, Brandon.
Oh my gosh, that was one of the coolest fantasy segments ever. That was awesome. I love it. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 208 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram, @LapTrafficPC. Huge thanks to Steve Letarte, Aaron Studwell, Brian Newdorf, Joe Houston, Joel Knoll, Matt Camper, Robert Riggs, all for calling in. And, oh, I'm pumped. Don't forget, next week's show is Wednesday night with none other than the legendary Jeff Striegel. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!